Let us seek the Lord again. Gracious God, we thank Thee that we can sing Thy praises and use such language. Lord, we must confess to Thee that when we sing such words, we do not fully fathom all that we are singing. It is too deep, too great, too high for us. And yet we praise Thy holy name. We have tasted that the Lord is gracious and good. And we pray for those who have not yet tasted that even tonight Thou wilt drop into their mouths sweet things from heaven. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There are different ways that a man may lose his own soul. The psalmist here speaks of the way a man can turn into like a beast in verse 20 of Psalm 49. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. And beast of the field, sheep, goat, cows, they do not have thoughts about God. They do not praise God in the way that we do. But a man who does not believe in the Lord, who does not know the Lord and love the Lord, what is the difference? Another way that people do lose their soul, they go through their life, and at some point in that period, they would pick up certain things, and they think it is a spiritual. But as we saw this morning, they create for themselves gods according to their own image. Things that please them, things that they do like. And so they will also perish. And then there are people who think that they are very wise. And oftentimes they, because of the things that they know, they are counted as wise. And they trust in their wisdom. Often people presume that those who are well educated and know subjects in arts and sciences, they have wisdom as well. That is not necessarily true. Learning and wisdom are not necessarily connected with each other. They may exist separately. You can have a very well-educated person having many degrees and doctorates and yet is not a wise person. And then you may have someone who is wise in the things of God and scriptures and life and eternity and yet does not have a degree, has not received much education. But in this world, people mix these things together. They think because a person knows a lot, so he is wise. Be careful with that kind of thinking. Wisdom, when properly viewed, is knowing and living according to the mind and will of God. And to deviate from that wisdom, then what you have is folly, foolishness. Worldly and unconverted people are shown to be foolish. It is those who do not believe in God. The Bible says it's the fool who has said in his heart there is no God. And those who are unconverted are classed as those who are simple. They are too naive. They receive all kinds of things, but not the truth. And in verse 13 of this psalm, we read, "This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings." That is the text I want us to think about, and especially the first part. This their way is their folly. And I want us to think about the foolish thinking of worldly people. And what the Bible says about that. There are many people who, when it comes to their soul, they act so foolishly. They're not wise. When it comes to their destiny and their soul, the purpose of why they are here in this life, then they act very foolishly. And there would be people who might even sit in churches, good churches, and then still when the call of the gospel comes to them, they act foolishly by not responding, by not seeking the Lord. They think another time will come, another week will come, this is just another sermon. And they forget the sound counsel of God that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So let us think about this, the foolish thinking of worldly people, and I want us to think through these things together and see, is this the way we would think? And if you're a believer, I want you to think through these things and see how then you can help someone who is thinking like that. But first of all, let us think of the way of the worldly man. It says, this, their way, is their folly. Isn't it true that if people are worldly, are ungodly, are unconverted, then they would speak in the language of the world. They would speak in the same way as the world. They look for the things of this world. Their life is filled with it. They seek it. They want it. And that's how the psalm describes them. It's their way. It reminds me of that word of our Lord Jesus Christ about gaining the whole world, he said. There would be some who would seek to gain various things, even the things of this world, everything in it, whatever they can get. And yet it is those people who are so unwise because they grasp after things that will fade away. As soon as they touch it, it perishes. And so the ways of the world, worldly people, it is folly. They are engrossed in it, absorbed with earthly things. It is their way. Worldly achievements is the one object of their ambition. If they can get a certain status in the eyes of men, in the eyes of their friends, maybe at school, thinking, well, I will do better than this fellow next to me. This is their purpose. This is what they're pursuing. And they would then pursue the things such as wealth and honor. And when they get this, they bless themselves. They trust in these things. Verse 6 says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. They're boasting in it all. They bless themselves in it. They are very happy with those things. They think that somehow these things will keep them happy for a long while. And it will continue in the future. It will carry on. And so they would get a land and they would name it after themselves, it says. Their inward thought, verse 11, is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. But this, their way, is their folly, it says. Don't we expect too much of our wealth? Don't we think that the things that we have should should take us through so much of our lives, and position and possessions? We think too much of it. We expect too much. We get upset if our wealth doesn't get us through certain things. A friend of mine used to think that money would get him into every place. And so that's the thing he would say. And he would call the manager if he was unhappy about something. But I'm paying for this. The manager would say, no. There are certain laws in this land. And it doesn't matter how much money you have to followed out those laws. But people would get disappointed if they cannot get their way. Those things, my friends, the things of this world, the way of the those who are looking after the things of this world, will not ward off sickness. It will not ward off death, either for ourselves or for other people. Isn't this what it says in verse 7? None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. We can't even help somebody else with our possessions. That's what it's saying. And those things won't follow us into the eternal world. As we read in verse 17, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. The moment we die, as very speedily we all must die, very quickly we die. Nothing of us remains, as it were. Our soul passes away from this world. Only this flesh, this frame of our bodies will remain, and then it will rot away in the grave. Instead of profiting us in the day of God's judgment, those things that we have been chasing after, they will seal our condemnation if they have not been used for God. Do you remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? There we see a bitter consequence of living only to the flesh. The man who has his good things in this life will want in the eternal world a drop of water to cool his tongue, and he will never see light, it says. In verse 19, they shall never see light. What a horrific thing. Children, boys and girls, I'm sure you're afraid of the dark. Most children are afraid of the dark. What a thing that is in eternity. If a soul is lost, there will be no light. There shall see no light. Never, it says. Never see light. There will be no flicker of it. There is no switch there to switch on and there would be light. No. Darkness forever. There will be this everlasting place of darkness and despair. And the foolish attitude that so many have is to think only for now, only for here and now, and what gives them enjoyments now. Do you remember that in that parable? God says to that foolish man, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And the sad thing is this, in this kind of folly, it is copied, it is repeated again and again. You see that in history, you see that in different generations. Those who have passed away are not affected, my friends, by what people say after they are gone. Those people who are either in heaven or in hell, they are not thinking about what we say about them. The eulogies that we give at their funerals and so on. They're thinking upon greater things, more solemn things, more serious things. So think on these things, the way of folly. The second thing for us to think about, as contrasted with this, is the way which true wisdom counsels us. True wisdom speaks to us, gives us counsel, gives us advice, tells us what is right and true, what is of greatest value. In verse 15, the psalmist speaks about something that is full of wisdom. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. That is, while the worldly men have no prospect beyond the grave. What they are thinking about is just this world and the things that they possess. The godly man, the man who has come to know the Savior, has come to receive that eternal life from the Lord. He knows of a Redeemer. He knows someone who will redeem his soul from the power of the grave. He is saying that, I know there is life after death. I know there is life after this grave. I know that there is going to be a resurrection. I will rise. He will receive me. That's what he's saying. But the worldly man has no prospect. All he sees is the grave. So what he will do is every day, eat and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. So let's learn from the counsel of God's wisdom. One of the things that we need to learn is that we need to treat and think of this world in its connection with eternity. Everything should have a string attached to it. And then there should be a central thing with eternity written on it. And then all of these things that you have should be connected. And if there is anything in your home, let's say, that you can't find how you can attach it to eternity, you should get rid of it. Just think about it. Everything in this life should have some connection with eternity. If it is going to last, if it is going to be glorifying to God and a blessing to our souls. Do we see this world as the only thing that there is? There are people maybe here. All you see is this world. When a person dies, what happens to their soul? Yes, their body goes into the grave and decomposes and is absorbed into the elements of the earth. But the soul lives on. And the soul either lives on in heaven or in hell. And don't be like those who are so short-sighted that they see only now, only here. Have everything connected to eternity. See beyond it. Don't think that, well, let us eat and drink. Let us just enjoy ourselves now. This is all that we need to think about. Now, let's not think about the morbid things of future and what old people should be thinking of. No, my friends. That would be foolish thinking. This world is a passage into another. Think about it in that way. I was thinking about passages, and I thought a good illustration of this world that we should have is a bed and breakfast. This world is a bed and breakfast. We are here for one night. Do people live in bed and breakfasts other than the owners? Do you go to a bed and breakfast and say, this is where I will live. I will pay every day. I will have my breakfast tomorrow. And that's where I will live. That's my dwelling place. That's my home. No, my friends. We don't do that. It's only for one night. We are going elsewhere, you see. It's only a place to abide for a very short time. And by God's grace, we are going to a better country. We might grumble for a little while. This B&B is not a very good one. Oh, it was too hot. It was too cold. We didn't have running water. The breakfast was cold or something like that. You might think and we may grumble a little bit. But when tomorrow comes and you're gone, do you think about it? Do you think about it now? Does it go through your mind, oh, I had a really bad experience there? No, you don't. That was a wonderful thing. No, you were only there for one night. That's it. It passed away. And so it will be with this world. There is no difference in that regard. It's all transient. It's all so brief. Whatever our experience has been, maybe your life has been a very sad life. Maybe you are so unhappy about different circumstances, different illnesses. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? don't concentrate on those things. Think on things that will last. Or maybe you have had a wonderful life, joyful life. Everything has gone your way. You've always landed on your feet. But even don't concentrate on those things. Bless God for it. Be thankful for it. But those things will be also brief. They will pass. Everything is so transient. What we ought to be aiming at, what would the wise be aiming at, is to arrive safely in heaven. That's the aim. Everything we are doing, we are fighting through all kinds of weathers so that we might arrive safely there. Also, the things that are so highly prized and so much valued by the ungodly people, they will lose their value. Everything that is esteemed by people as good or bad. When we arrive into the next world, they will have of no value to us. We won't think about how much we had of it or how little we had. So true wisdom says this, love not the world. That is true wisdom. Neither be of it. As Paul says, be crucified to it. And let it be as one crucified to you. You're dead to it. You're not hanging on to it. You're not depending your life and your soul and everything that you value on the things of this world. You see, this is the way of folly. This, their way, is their folly. Don't follow like that. Don't think like that. Another thing, another wise counsel that the scripture tells us is to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ and His saints. To follow the footsteps of those who have arrived safely in heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, and they will sit in the kingdom of heaven. They've gone before us. We read of some in the Bible. We read of others in the history of the church. No, they seem to be as foolish people and very odd people, strangers, and too serious for some by worldly wise people. But the fact of the matter is, they've arrived safely in heaven. You think about Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham went out from his kindred and his country, not knowing whither he went. He went out, all he heard was the call of God, come out. And so he did. And the Bible says he didn't know exactly where he was going, but he was following the Lord by faith. He knew his life was safe in the hand of the Savior. You think about Moses. Moses refused all the wealth and honor that Egypt could give, that he might be with God's people, persecuted people, despised people, but he wanted to be with them. Because he knew for eternity he would be with them. So why not now? Then you have the many saints, many of the believers, who we read in Hebrews 10:34, took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing that they had in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You remember Matthew or Levi, the tax collector? He left his lucrative employment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord simply said, come and follow me. You remember Paul, the apostle, who suffered the loss of all things that he might win Christ. All of these would be thought by the world to be excessive people, extreme people. But they acted with supreme wisdom. In each part that they took in their lives, they all chose that good part which could not be taken away from them. Can anybody now think that those dear saints, where they are now, in heaven. And then can they say that this, their way, was folly? No. We don't think of them as fools now. We wish to be with them. We want to be in the same place as them. It was the wisest thing that they did. Now they don't think, well, I didn't like the way people said that about me. They have forgotten it all. They don't think of that. It didn't matter to them what men said of them. But what matters is where they are now. Now let me finish by giving you two words of application. The text says this, their way is their folly. This, their way is their folly. It's not one or two people. So many people are following in that way. Their way is their folly. One thing I would say to you is to guard against the influences of other people, the influence of bad examples, influences of foolish people, people who are ungodly. Guard against that. Follow what the Scripture says about the way of salvation. Follow what the Scripture tells you and calls you to, has opened for you to see that Jesus Christ is that way. He is that true God. He is the Son of God who came into this world. He is the wisdom of God who was born in Bethlehem. And the most wise thing that God did, it was foolishness in the eyes of men, that the Savior would be born in such a humble state. And then for Him to rise up like a tender plant and come through His life perfectly, living before God and before men. And then for men to ridicule Him, to torture Him, to abuse Him, and then finally nail Him to the cross. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God sent forth His only begotten Son, that sinners nailed Him to the cross. God poured His wrath upon Him because He was dying instead of us. And then He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again. All those who trust in Him will be forgiven, pardoned. He'll become a Savior to them, a shepherd to them, a guardian and protector to them. That is the right way. But guard yourselves against bad examples. People who will try to turn you away to a different way, to a way that seems to be easier, a shortcut, a bypass meadow. But these influences come. This is one of the clearest ways that young people are kept away from seeking the Lord and or are drawn back into the world. We are told this, that look at what so-and-so has done or what he is doing. He is happy, isn't he? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that kind of life? What's wrong with not going to church? What's wrong with not reading the Bible? Why do I have to be so religious? Am I not happy? How should we think about these things? It doesn't matter what people have and what people might say. It doesn't matter who they are. They may be your family members. They may be your friends, your colleagues, people that you sit with. Ask yourself, have they done things in respect to the written or revealed will of God? These people who are so-called happy, are they following the Lord? Are they true believers in Jesus Christ, living for Him? If the answer is no, then this is their text. This, their way, was their folly. And instead of taking them as examples to follow, my friends. We should rather regard them as warning signs. That person who says to you, oh, don't think about God, and don't think about the Bible, and don't be too serious about these things. Don't listen to them. See them as warning signs that their end will be destruction and judgment. And that will be so sudden. But then we are told by people that, but see how many people are living like this. How many people believe in these views? How many people who are questioning God? And well, we have it all over. The media, the television, the internet. All various people are telling us, high up people who are telling us that there is no God, or that you have to begin to question the Bible. That Jesus Christ was not a historical figure, and so on. Don't listen to them, my friends. These are they who the Bible calls fools. Remember that of them if you are tempted in their way, that they are walking according to the course of this world. And to walk according to the course of this world is to walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world, the Bible says. And we must therefore leave the broad road that leads to destruction and walk in that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Don't be controlled, don't be influenced by and bullied by friends and family and colleagues and all people who will come to give you their advice. What we need is a word from God, His message. The second thing I would say to you is to cleave to Jesus Christ, who alone is able to redeem our souls. If we cannot redeem or heal our parents, our friends, from death, if we cannot bring them back up to life, then we will definitely not be able to rescue their soul from spiritual and eternal death. The price required for that is more than all the creatures in earth or heaven are able to pay. There is one who has paid the price to redeem our souls, and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior. In verse 7, it says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, not give to God a ransom for him. But Christ has paid the mighty ransom payment. And with his own precious blood, he has redeemed us from sin and Satan, from death, from hell. Seek him then, my friends. And then you will be truly rich. Richer than 1,000 worlds could make you. Him you have durable riches, the Bible says, and righteousness. So go to him, and God will give you gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. And if the world laughs at your way as folly, don't care what they say. They will soon change their attitude. They will soon change their mind. The moment that they would enter into the eternal world, they will know infallibly who were wise and who were fools. And when they will meet you at the judgment seat of Christ, they will say, we fools, how foolish we were. We thought that their life was madness. And yet what they said to us will be turned back to them. They are the fools. Their way is their folly. So walk not as fools, wise. And so walking, then you will surely, before you have the praise of the Lord, well done, good and faithful servants, enter ye into the joy of your Lord. Let me tell you in closing a true account of a fire in a mental hospital. It used to be called a lunatic asylum. In 27th of January 1903, there was a fire that broke out in the lunatic asylum. 300 inmates, 50 perished, and 250 had to be pulled out of the fire. They wouldn't come, but they had to be dragged. And while work of rescue was going on, these poor, insane people behaved in such a way that would remind us of the way people are, spiritually speaking. It would laugh at the way of salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The writer who wrote in one of the papers this: some laughed at the mention of fire. They believed that there was fire. And so they laughed at it. And fools can laugh at the judgment of God. Fools make a mock of sin. And those who are morally insane will trifle with the fire of sin. He went on to say that some said that they would not leave their bed in the night and go out. It's too much. I'm in bed at night. And so they didn't consent to leave. They had to be dragged out even to save their lives. And there are many people like that. They would prefer the pleasures of this life, this life, than the joy of salvation. What this is. But then we read at that account of the fire that some were hiding under the bed from the fire. So in their to find refuge, they went to hide themselves under things. And that in this life, they try themselves under some sort of a canopy of their works or their church going or some things to hide themselves. But we cannot. Then we read that some seem to fancy that rescuers had made the fire. You've made it, they said. What madness this is. Them fought against their rescuers and tearing their hairs out. What a sad picture. But that's exactly what in 1903. Some were heard knocking at a closet to get out. All who were sane, they went to the rescue. It's a picture, friend, of this man that we live in. It's a picture of the of man. That's here to us. Man. Of the fact that there was life after the grave, life after death. I've said to you many times that life is found in Jesus Christ alone. Follow after the way of the fools. Do not make shipwreck. Amen.